James chapter 4, thanks, brother. James chapter 4, and we'll be reading from verses 1 to 8. Our main passage will be from verses 6 to 8. What a blessing that the sermons that have been preached have been unto us from faithful men. So if you're on the text, James, the book of James, chapter 4, verses 1 to 8, we read, "From whence come wars and fightings among you? Can they not hence, even of your lust, that war in your members? Ye lust and have not, ye kill." Sorry, I'm going to put this down a little bit. "And desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not." Verses 3, "Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do you think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy?" Verses 6, "But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded." So our title will come from verses 7 of our passage, "Submit yourselves therefore to God." Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this time that you've given us. We thank you for the opportunity, Lord, to dive into your word, Lord, and to learn from it. Father, just as you've been a blessing this Sunday in our word, in your word, Father, we just continue to pray that you'd add your blessing upon it. Father, we thank you for the promise of your word in Isaiah, that it will prosper, Lord, and will not return unto you void. Father, speak into our hearts, and would your spirit continue to strive with us, instruct us and convict us in the way we ought to go. We love you in Jesus' name. We pray and ask these things. Amen. So this passage starts by saying that wars and contentions spring from the lust of our hearts, which produce the most fatal effects in our lives. And these always end in disappointment. Why? Because the flesh seeks pleasure in its own will, which is not God's. Then verses 3, we ask amiss. We don't ask for the right things. Verses 4, it goes on to say, the friendship of the world is enmity against God. And then verses 5, the spirit that is in us lusteth to envy. But in verses 6 to 8, which is our main passage here tonight, we read, "But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God," which is our title, "resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded." So, first point, God resisteth the proud. God resisteth the proud. The Bible makes it plain and clear here, folks, that God resists the proud, but he gives grace unto the humble. He gives grace unto the humble. We see that in verses 6 of our passage. And then turn with me to Psalms 138, verses 6, if you will. Psalms chapter 138, verses 6. "Those that are proud, God says he knoweth afar off." Psalms 138, verses 6. "Though the Lord be high, yet he hath respect unto the lowly, but the proud he knoweth afar off." Only God can give grace. Grace is an essential part of God's character, and grace can be defined as God's unmerited favor towards mankind, towards us as unworthy people of that grace, as recipients of it. God is willing to forgive us and bless us abundantly in spite of the fact that we don't deserve it. And then Proverbs 3:34, no need to turn there, says, surely he scorneth the scorners, but he giveth grace unto the lowly. And the Bible even says that a man's pride shall bring him low. The result of a prideful man, it'll bring him low. Proverbs 29:23 reads, A man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. So the result of pride is that it'll always bring you to nothing. Then Luke 4:11 reads, "For whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted." We can see here tonight, church, that God has no respect for those that are prideful, that he in fact resists them. But our passage that then goes on to say that he gives grace unto the humble. Church, this is how God would have us to be. As his children, as his set apart people, he wants us to be humble, because when we are, then at the beginning of this chapter here in James of chapter 4, we won't be asking amiss. We won't be asking for things that we shouldn't. We won't be submitting to the flesh and lusting towards it, but seeking what God would have us to do. We won't be demanding God of things, but asking him rather, Lord, if it is your will, and leave it there with him. And then verse 7 of our passage goes on to say, submit yourselves therefore to God, which is our title. Note that word therefore. Therefore ties this verse with the previous section on selfish lust. Verse 7, submit yourselves therefore to God. Our selfish lust causes conflicts. They do not satisfy and they destroy spiritually, folks. And we know this is true. We know this is true. But thankfully, God gives more grace to the humble. When we come unto him humble, saying, Lord, forgive me, I've done wrong, he gives us grace and allows us to move on. He lifts us up again. In verse 7 here, James has given us God's prescription for victory over selfish lust, which is spoken of in our passage here. Let's take a look at that word, submit. Submit means to give in another's control. It is arranging yourself under another person's authority or another's authority. It is obeying. Notice 1 Peter 2:13. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme. The Bible says here that we are to submit to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. And that's the truth. Some folks don't like to obey that. Some folks like to cover that scripture, but it's a biblical truth. The Bible says that one day every knee will bow and tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord. That Jesus Christ is the only Lord. As we learned this morning, the whole world will submit to God. Romans 4:11 says, for it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall confess to God. Then turn with me, please, if you will, to Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 13, verses 17. The Bible even says that we are to submit to our pastors because they watch for our souls. They watch for your souls. That we are to obey them. Hebrews chapter 13, 17 reads, obey them that have the rule over you and submit to yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they must give accounts, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. And then flick with me, if you will, your pages, your Bibles to Colossians 3:18. Colossians 3:18. The Bible even commands wives to submit to their husbands. We see there that the word submit is a biblical word. Colossians 3:18. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. The word submit isn't scary, it's biblical. The world doesn't like to hear submit because they are disobedient and want to do what they want to do. And how about us? Do we count ourselves with the world as children of God? As we see there at the beginning of James, chapter 4 of our passage, we cannot be a friend of the world. And the Bible says here in our passage tonight that we are to submit to God. So we've seen there, submit to our wives, submit to our pastors, even our government, those that God has put in the rule. But then God requires this from us as his children. And when we don't, we will ask amiss from God. And we certainly won't be resisting the devil, as we'll see there in verses 7. Because how can we when we are doing what we want, not what God wants us to do? The Bible says that when we choose not to submit to God, when we turn away from God and his word, even our prayer life will be hindered. Proverbs 28:9, he that turneth away his ear from hearing the law or the word of God, even his prayer shall be an abomination. That your prayer will be an abomination, God will not hear it, nor will he answer it. When we submit to God, we allow God to have free course in our lives, folks. When we submit to God, his will can be accomplished in our lives. Then following in verses 7 of our passage, when we are submitting to God, we are to be resisting the devil, which is our third point. Resist the devil. We are to be resisting the devil, and it's plain and simple there. Three words. When we resist the devil, God's word promises us that the devil will flee from us. Not might, not just sometimes, but he will flee from us when we resist him. Then turn with me to 1 Peter 5:9, if you will. 1 Peter 5:9, a familiar passage that we all should know, that we all do know. The Bible commands us not only here, but also in 1 Peter 5:9, to resist the devil steadfast in the faith. 1 Peter 5:9, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Does the battle stop there, though? No, we have to keep resisting them. But why? Because if you're still in there in 1 Peter 5, look at verse 8, just a verse above. It says, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. That is the reason why we are to keep resisting him. The battle doesn't just stop after one victory, after two victories, or three. It keeps going, and it keeps going. Because as a roaring lion, the devil walketh about, seeking about whom he may devour. It is a constant battle. We are told in Ephesians 4:27 to neither give place to the devil, to not give place to him at all in anything, whether that's in speech, whether that is in the way we walk, especially to the world, or even our conduct towards our brethren, that we are not to give place to the devil. So turn with me there to Ephesians 6 now. Ephesians 6, 11 to 12. Ephesians 6, we'll be reading verses 11 to 12. We are told that we are to put on the whole armor of God, that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Ephesians 6, 11 to 12. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. You know, and we should know what these different armor plates for described in Ephesians 6. We have the helmet of salvation. We have the breastplate of righteousness. We have the shield of faith. We have our loins girded about with the truth. We have our feet fit and shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. But what is our best tool? What is our best strategy to resist the devil? There's one more tool, the sword of the Spirit. And the Bible describes that as the Word of God. The Word of God, consider the Lord Jesus Christ, when a tempter, who was Satan, came unto him in the wilderness. Matthew 4, no need to turn there. And we read, and when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. And Jesus goes on to say, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Jesus himself, the living word, gave the word of God to withstand the tempter, to stand against him. So we are to resist the devil. How? We are to resist him steadfast in the faith. We are told not to give place to the devil. We are told to put on the armor of God so that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And when we resist him, the promise follows that he will flee from us. But remember that he walketh about seeking whom he may devour. We must always be on the lookout and ready to stand against him, our great adversary, the devil. So far we have seen in our first point that God resisteth the proud. Then our second point, which is our title, submit yourselves therefore to God. And then our third point, to resist the devil. And when we do this, that is followed with a promise that he will flee from us. Now let's look at our fourth point, verse 8 of our passage. And James, if you will, go back to our passage. Verse 8 of chapter 4. We read, just draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you, is our point there. The Bible says, if we obey this command as his children to draw nigh to God, the promise follows that he will draw nigh and draw near to us. Turn with me, if you will, to Psalm 73:28. The Bible says that it is a good for us to draw near to God. It's a very good thing to draw near to God. Psalm 73:28 reads, "But it is good for me," this is David speaking, "to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works." The Bible says it's a very good thing to draw near to God. And then turn with me, we're staying in Psalms, to Psalms 145:18. Psalms 145:18. The Bible says that God is nigh unto them that call upon him in truth. Psalms 145:18. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. We are to draw near to God with the true heart. And then turn with me to Hebrews, the New Testament, Hebrews 10:22. We are to draw near to God with a true heart. Hebrews 10:22 reads, "Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." How does God want us to draw near to him? With a heart full of evil? Is that even possible? No. God has made it plain and clear there in Hebrews that we are to draw near to God with a true heart, a genuine heart. And whether that be a heart of repentance or a heart of service and servanthood towards God, only you'd know. To the unsaved folk, God is calling you, if there's anyone here who hasn't received Christ as Savior, God is calling you to seek him while he may be found. Time is running out for you. Isaiah 55:6-7 says, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found, and call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord." And we heard that great preaching from Brother James this morning about returning unto the Lord. And then Christ also has brought a better hope, which is through himself. And because of this, we draw nigh unto God. Hebrews 7:19 reads, "For the law made nothing perfect," and we know that's true, "but the bringing in of a better hope did," speaking of Christ, "by the which we draw nigh unto God." Christ has made that way, has made that bridge between God and man, that through him we'd have access unto God through the Spirit. We have seen that the Bible speaks a lot on drawing closer to God, and drawing closer to him as his children. And because of this, he will draw near us. The Bible teaches us that it is good for us as his children to draw near to him. If we say we are children of God and God is our Father, we should strive daily to have a closer walk with him, to draw closer to him. And it is a privilege to have the one true living God as our Heavenly Father. You know, the unsaved folk don't have that. They don't have that hope. And then anyways, our last point, cleanse your hands, ye sinners, in verses 8 of James chapter 4. Verses 8, "Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Put off wickedness, put off lust of the heart, and cease to do evil." Isaiah 1:15-16, no need to turn there, reads, "And when ye spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when ye make many prayers, I will not hear you. Your hands are full of blood. Wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes, and cease to do evil." Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts. Confess your sin before God. Get it right with God and forsake it. Would you pray like David did in Psalms 51:10, where he says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." That is the right response of repentance and humbleness and meekness, coming before God, acknowledging our sin, putting it off. So we have seen in point one, this is our summary, that God resisteth the proud. The Bible makes it plain and clear here, folks, that God resists the proud, but gives grace unto the humble. And God requires of us as his children to be humble. And then our second point was, submit yourselves therefore to God, which is our title. We are to submit to God. God requires this from us as his children, and when we don't, we will ask amiss from God, and he won't answer our prayers. When we don't submit to him, even our prayers will become an abomination. When we will give place to the devil, and we will fall when we don't submit to God. Even our prayer life again will be hindered. And then point three, resist the devil, followed with a promise that he will flee from us, that he will flee. What a great promise that is. We are to resist the devil. Again, how? We are to resist him steadfast in the faith. We are told not to give place to the devil. We are told to put on the armor of God so that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. When we resist him, he will flee from us. But we must always remember, folks, that the devil walketh about seeking whom he may devour. We must always be on the lookout and ready to resist him, steadfast in the faith. And then our last point we just saw, draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. The Bible says if we obey this command and draw nigh to God, the promise follows that he will draw near to us. Again, Psalm 73:28, our closing scripture. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works. So submit yourselves, therefore, to God. It is a good thing. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the hearing of your word. Father, we just thank you for the lessons that we can learn in it, Lord. And if we haven't submitted ourselves to you, Lord, Lord, if we're living in sin, Father, just convict us. And would you bring us back unto godly repentance, Lord, and will we get things right with you? Father, we thank you for your love. And Lord, we just pray as we close the Sunday off, Lord, that you'd bless us and keep us safe throughout the week. We love you so much. We thank you for all these things. We pray and ask in thy name. Amen.